farty. Arty farty.
Good afternoon, farty listeners, and thanks for joining us on our first show of Arty Farty. It's pretty obvious by the name, if you haven't already guessed it, it's everything and anything to do with art that interests you. So as it's the first show, I thought I could start off by telling you a bit about myself and what I have planned for future shows and how today's going to run. So first off, my name's Casey and I'm going to be hosting the show each week on a Thursday from 4 to 5 o'clock. So you might be wondering why I've decided to host an art show and also why I called it Arty Farty. If you haven't heard the term arty farty before, it's usually used to describe someone who's a bit of an art know-it-all. So you know those types that stand in the gallery and they'll talk to everyone and anyone that'll listen about any artist and how they're feeling at the time, be able to answer every question, no matter whether they know the real answer or not. That's someone who's arty farty. Although I wouldn't consider myself this type of arty farty, I do have a background in art. I studied visual arts at Monash University, majoring in jewellery design for 3 years, but I do enjoy talking about and looking at all different types of art and also finding out ways that other people view art. So even if you feel that you don't have a real arty background or many art experiences, you can still tell us whether you like it or don't like it and can enjoy the types of things we'll be talking about in Arty Farty each week.
So we're going to be playing a bit of music as well as having a guest each week coming in and telling us a little bit about their experience with art, whether that be the making of art, they may go to an exhibition they want to tell you about, or they may even just have some creative ideas they want to share with you. If you're sitting there thinking, I have something I would love to share with the community, please get in contact with us at Karam Radio. Today we have a guest who is busting to tell us all about her numerous art projects, but before I introduce her, here's a song for you, And the Boys by Angus and Julia Stone.
It's been days now and you change your mind again. Feels like years and I can tell how time can bend your ideas. And the boys go on and on and on and on. And the boys go on and on and on and on. And there's gold from the ceiling of this world, falling from the heartbeat of this girl, falling from the things we should have learned, falling from the things we could have heard. Well, it's been days now and you change your mind again. Cracks in the walls reminds you of things we said. And I could tell you that I won't hurt you this time, but it's just safer to keep you in this hide of mine.
Here with me now. Her name is Liz Maroney, and I actually went to university with her. So she studied art with me in a different field and also education. So she's got lots of different experiences teaching art as well as primary teaching. And currently she is a volunteer at the Brotherhood of St. Lawrence, which is an art youth program. So she's here to tell us more about that. Hi, Liz. How are you going?
Hi, Case. I'm good. Thank you. Hi, Arty Farty listeners. It's good to talk to you today.
So how are you involved in the art program at the Brotherhood of St. Lawrence, and what types of things do you do there?
Yep, so every Thursday, Mum and I go down to Brotherhood of St. Lawrence and we teach an art class for an hour. We basically just get a bunch of materials and give the kids an idea of what to do, and then we just let them go. It's a really different experience, and it's really exciting to see a lot of young people sort of engaging with different materials and ideas that they sort of wouldn't be able to.
Great.
Otherwise.
Yep. So I know sometimes it's really hard to engage youth in classrooms, especially in things like art activities. Do the students enjoy themselves? And how do you find their attitude is towards art?
Yep. At the beginning, it was quite hard to get them to really engage with it. A lot of them were really they didn't really want to give it a go. They were really reserved about it. And so it was just through a lot of encouragement, a lot of just telling them that all we wanted them to do was give it a go. And so that's what we've sort of done, and now the kids are really interested. We walk in and they have their books out ready and like their sketchbooks and all their materials and stuff. So through a lot of encouragement and I guess through personal interest, because Mum and I both have a really strong interest in art. So through that we kind of just talk about what we're interested in and really chat to the kids about what they're doing and what's happening in their lives. And we just pass that sort of passion on. It's really good for the students who may not be as engaged in maths or English or sort of typical school activities. It just gives them a little bit of a different thing to have a go at. We run the classes in a way that's not really, it doesn't have a massive direction. It's not really very structured. We sort of start the class with, an idea. We talk about something that we're going to do, and then the kids just kind of have a go at it. And it's just about them.
Yeah, that sounds really great. So would you say that they're developing their art skills? Is that one of your main focuses? Or what do you think that the students really gain out of your lessons?
Yeah, it's definitely about art skills, for sure, like different materials, how to use them. They may not have ever, played with clay or done whatever. So that's a big thing. But it's also about giving them a chance to sort of remove themselves from what's going on and just giving them time to explore and just to, it's a little bit of a break. Your school, you've got a lot of different things going on and different things going on at home, so it's really nice to give them an opportunity where they can just think about something else, be totally engaged in what they're doing. And Mum and I often just sit with them and chat to them about other things and whatever's going on, and it's really good because they can sort of focus on a couple of things, and it's a nice little break for them.
So just looking at the different ways that people use art as perhaps a way of kind of getting away from their everyday life, I find that really interesting. So we're just going to go to a song now, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Liz about an art program that she ran overseas.
Sun, you better not shadow, me, me, me. Oh, I thought it's straight to you. Oh, I don't deserve you. I gotta run, run, run. Come to stay in here, here, here. Oh, I gotta disappear. Oh, I don't deserve you. Oh, standing on this busy city street. City I've got nobody to meet. This big old city I'm riding down, all the things that come between us. I just want you to meet me. Won't you meet me in the middle? I just want you to meet me. Won't you meet me by the corner, by the river, by the bridge, down by the seaside, by the river, by the bridge, down by the seashore. Oh, sun, 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 you better not shut out me, me, me. All I've done is drink tea, tea. Oh, I don't. Nobody to meet. This big old city I've got nobody to meet. Won't you meet me? Won't you meet me in the middle? Won't you meet me? Won't you meet me by the corner, by the river, by the bridge, by the seaside, by the corner, by the bridge, down by the seaside. Oh, sun, 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 you better not shine on me, me, me. All I've done is drink tea. No, I don't deserve you. I gotta run, run, run. Come be staying here.
Having lots of fun back here with our guest Liz Moroney today. Now we're going to talk a little bit about her time that she spent overseas teaching an art program. Whereabouts was that, Liz?
I spent a bit of time in Tanzania, which is in East Africa. I was living in a village called Mtuwambu, so I taught an art program after school at the primary school.
And just in relation to the program that you run with the Brotherhood of St. Lawrence, what would you say, how would you say it differs from place to place?
It's obviously very different. In the village in Africa, they didn't really have an art program at the primary school or a sport or anything. It was very, you know, very straight down the line. So they hadn't really had a chance to play with a lot of different materials and things like that. So it was all about... It was really similar to the Brotherhood in terms of giving it a go, but they hadn't really had any time to do that. So it was really nice to be able to do that with them.
So would you say that the Tanzanian people were particularly artistic?
Yeah, they're very artistic. Some of the kids were amazing. Like, they could look at a picture and just draw it exactly the way that it was. They were amazing. And you gave them materials and they kind of experimented with it in different ways that, you know, I might not have done or anyone else might have done. So it was really nice, but they are incredibly creative.
Do you find that they get much opportunity to make things and create things during school time?
No, not at all, because they don't actually have, well, the particular school that I was at, they didn't have an art program or a sport or whatever, as I said. So they don't really get the chance to get creative and explore things like that. So, no, they didn't. So it was really nice for the kids to to come after school and have materials that they were able to use, and often I'd let them sort of take some things home so that they could draw, and they'd bring in pictures every day. They were just so into it because it was something so different.
Mm, that sounds really great. I think when you give children opportunity like that where they don't really get the chance to do it in their everyday life, they really get engaged and get really into it. So that's great. It sounds like you really enjoyed yourself whilst you're over there. And I hear you've actually started your own project to help the people back in Tanzania. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yep, so I've teamed up with a long-time friend called Anthea Thring, and we've started what's called the Mtuambu Project. So it's all about just building a community centre in the village, which will run different classes according to the needs of the community. So obviously we'll have things like sanitation, we're going to do like a preventative health, things like that, basic things like that, but also we are planning to run another art program for the kids there, so that will be really good. And it's a massive, it's the town of Mtuambu, it's a really big art town. So it'd be really nice to get the community involved in a few different art projects, because a lot of the art is very similar. So it'd be really nice to sort of challenge that and introduce a few new ideas and then also learn from them as well.
Great. So if anyone wants to jump on board or give you a hand at all, is there any fundraising events coming up that we could get involved in?
Yeah, we've got a fundraiser in October on the 19th. It's at Morning Star Estate in Mount Eliza, which is an amazing winery. It's a little local gem. So if people want to get involved, they can go to our website, which is www.themwmproject.org. So all the information's on there. You can have a look and you can buy tickets to the event there.
So we're also going to pop Liz's website up onto the Karen Radio site if you'd like to find out more information about the great work that Liz is doing, or if you want to get in contact with her to help her out. Although Liz is obviously my friend, I just want to say to everyone out there that she's really passionate about this project and doing a great job. And it just shows that young people can really make a difference, as Liz is doing, trying to create equal opportunities for people all around the world. So Liz, I just want to say thanks again for coming in. And if there's anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, no worries. It's really nice to come in and talk to you. I think it's a really great project. It's really exciting, and I'm really passionate. And Anthea, the girl I'm collaborating with, is really passionate about it too. And it's really exciting to just see the response that we've had, a lot of people helping us and everything. So if anyone wants to get involved or know anything more, have a look at the website. And which is www.themwmproject.org. Have a look at that and get in contact with us, because we'd love anyone to just get on board.
And thanks again for coming in and being our first guest on Arty Farty.
No worries.
So before having a look at what exhibitions are going on around Melbourne, I'm just going to play you another song. This one's More Chiba, Rome Wasn't Built in a Day.
You and me were meant to be walking free in harmony. One fine day we'll fly away. Don't you know that Rome wasn't built in a day? Hey, hey, hey. Thank you.
So we're back now, and now I'm going to tell you a little bit about some galleries that you might want to check out over the weekend. So as I have a background in jewellery design, I thought I would just share with you a couple of galleries around Melbourne that you may not be aware of that are constantly open, that you not only get to see Melbourne-based artists, but also lots of international jewellery designers who sell their jewellery within the gallery spaces. They're really interesting, usually really well-designed spaces so that you can look at all different types of jewellery, and the way they're set out really differs depending on the gallery that you go to. So the first one I wanted to tell you about is called Pieces of Eight. That is on 28 Russell Place in Melbourne, just down a little lane in a really nice part of the city. And Pieces of Eight feature about 10 to 12 different artists at a time. They're constantly changing. You'll find that most of them are quite contemporary in the way that they work, not always using precious metals. A lot of them use contemporary materials like wood or plastics, so really different designs, quite colourful, and they are usually inspired by things that are of fashion at the point in time. So they're a really good one to visit, especially if you're looking to buy a piece of jewellery that's quite different. I would definitely check out Pieces of Eight, and the way that the work is displayed is really nice. They have each artist is displayed in a really nice glass cabinet along each wall and within the centre of the gallery, and they probably have about 10 to 20 pieces each, depending on what type of work it is. But it's just a really nice way of looking at the collection and also getting to see a variety of styles and different colours and shapes and techniques that are being used with all the different artists, not only in Melbourne but internationally, which is really great. And also just being able to have the opportunity to buy these pieces, and some of them are quite affordable, so definitely go and check that one out. It's called Pieces of Eight. Next one I would suggest is called Gallery Funaki. So again, it features many different artists, both local and international, and they probably have up to about 30 artists at one time exhibiting their work. The way that they're set out is very different to Pieces of Eight. They are a smaller gallery, but really great way that they've used the space that's very functional. You walk in and they've actually got lots of wooden drawers on the left-hand side to which you are able to pull out the drawers and hold the jewellery and just at your own devices, shut the drawers and look through them. It's a really nice way. It's almost like looking through your grandmother's old jewelry cabinet full of really interesting pieces. So it's very different from Pieces of Eight in that way that you're actually allowed to explore the drawers and touch things and really, you know, get a good look at what the jewelry is made out of and hold it and feel the weight. So that one's a really great one as well. That one's called Gallery Funaki, and that's on 4 Crossling Street in Melbourne. So these are walking distance from one another. So if you're spending a day in Melbourne, it's really great to go and check out the two, and you'll see that different artists are exhibited in both of those. Gallery Funaki is just jewellery, whereas Pieces of Eight actually also have other things like sculptural work and also bowls and cutlery and really different stuff. So go check out the two of those. One other artist who has just opened her own gallery, she was originally in exhibited in Gallery Funaki, is an artist called Lucy Falk. So she does some really interesting pieces of jewellery. She actually studied at Monash University quite a time before myself. Her jewellery consists of all things to do with food. So it's very playful stuff. It's usually made out of precious metals, so gold and silver. And she's actually created a really fun set of jewellery based on burger rings and Doritos. So if you think about it, a bit of a play on the idea of the burger ring being an actual ring that you would wear and also made a Dorito ring and a Doritos necklace. But it's just really interesting how those simple foods, you can see straight away what they are, but that they can be worn in a really classy way, and they're not that kind of tacky costume jewelry. They're actually really nicely crafted pieces. So she's really interesting. She also does stuff with wood as well. I think last time I was there, I saw some sliced apple earrings. So she does some really fun stuff, and her gallery space is actually very quirky as well. She's got lots of old cutlery on the walls, and very different, very small. So that's another one to check out. And that one's actually only a couple of doors down from Gallery Funaki. So that's at 1A Crossling Street in Melbourne. So you definitely have a couple of ones to check out within walking distance. And once again, you can buy all of her pieces, and her prices are quite reasonable considering they are hand designed. So go check her out, and or go and even have a look at her catalogue online. I'm sure you'll find her stuff very interesting. Since I've been yabbering for a while now, I'm going to play you another song. This one is Adele, If It Hadn't Been For Love. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about a competition that might interest all you that have a digital camera.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have caught the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain with that $1 to my name if it hadn't been, if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in.
Back now. That one was by Adele, If It Hadn't Been For Love. Love her voice. She's just great and sounds great singing all different types of songs. So good on Adele. Now, before we heard that song, I said to you I was going to talk about a competition that I'd stumbled across on the internet. So on the website, that's melbourne.com.au. If you haven't been there before, definitely check it out. If ever there's a time during the week or on the weekend that you don't really know what to do with yourself or with your family, it's a great website that lets you know of anything that's happening around Melbourne or even in the suburbs, things that you perhaps wouldn't see in the newspaper, or you would just skip over something quite insignificant in the newspaper but is really worth going to see and really entertaining. So that's melbourne.com.au is a site that I always look at, especially the arts and culture section, just to see what's going on around Melbourne, because often it's actually free activities or quite cheap to go and have a look. So they advertise things like theatres and shows, live comedy, which is really great, art exhibitions and public art, as well as dance and opera. So it's a really good website to check out whenever you're feeling like doing something interesting, especially within the streets of Melbourne, right in the heart of Melbourne. There's always interesting things going on. So this competition that I came across is called Snapped Melbourne in a Moment. So it involves submitting a photograph of Melbourne that you think really describes Melbourne in just that photograph. So it may be a fleeting moment or something that you've noticed that tells 1,000 words about your idea of Melbourne, whether you love it or loathe it. But it is a really great competition. I don't think that you have to be a professional photographer to enter it. You just have to own a digital camera, not even a fancy SLR. If you just have a normal point and shoot, you can do a lot with that and perhaps even get into some Photoshopping if you know how to use Adobe Photoshop. But if not, I would still encourage everyone to enter because you never know what people are looking for when it comes to photographs. So if you enter this competition, you could win $1,000 as well as have your photograph exhibited in the gallery of the City Library. So it's a bit of a big deal, which is really great. Going out and taking some photos, some great photos of Melbourne, is always a lot of fun. You can do it with the kids or, you know, just have a day of getting creative, and you never know how your photos end up turning out. You might end up wanting to blow it up onto a big canvas and it could become a talking piece within your lounge room. So definitely whip out your digital camera and have a shot of this one. The entries close on the 1st of October. So you have a little bit of time before you have to submit that one. So get involved. That is Snapped Melbourne in a Moment. So I think it's time for another song. This one is Jeff Buckley, Last Goodbye.
Can't we overcome this war? just because I didn't know you at all.
We're back now, and I thought, as I was just telling you all about the photography competition, that perhaps I could share some photoshopping tips with you for all of you at home that perhaps have the photoshopping program or a really similar program and not too sure how to use it or how to enhance photos. So a program like Photoshop is really great, even just for your everyday photos that you take of your friends and family, to give them a better color and contrast, and to perhaps even make us, the viewer, focus in on what you're trying to say within the photograph. So just a few little tips for Adobe Photoshop for those people now who have that at home and perhaps don't really know how to use it. So first thing I would suggest to do with any photograph, this is even if you were to go and take your photos in to Officeworks and use one of the Kodak facilities when you plug your USB in and you go to print your photos off. One thing that really livens up your photo is changing the contrast and the brightness. So when you take your normal photograph with a point and shoot camera, often it's just using an automatic setting to try and balance out the light and the shadow as well. But sometimes when you do that, depending on what you're taking the photo of, it actually creates shadows in places that you don't really want them to be. So the first thing I'd suggest, once you have opened or imported your photo into Photoshop, or you're on the machine, the Kodak machine, about to get your photos printed, is to go in and have a play around with the brightness and the contrast, okay? So firstly, check for the brightness first, whether you want to make your photo a little bit lighter or darker. And then when you do that, contrast really sharpens the colors of the image. So kind of like the outlines and your darks, they make your blacks blacker and your lights lighter as well. So when you go to do contrast, just keep in mind that no, you don't want anyone to have an orange skin tone. okay? Unless you want to have that really fake Oompa Loompa glow. When you adjust your contrast, if you're going to adjust your contrast up, just be aware that as you change skin tones, they actually get oranger with the contrast. So be aware of that when you change that part of it. As well as you change the contrast up or down, you're also adjusting the pixels within the image. So just keep an eye out when you're adjusting them up or down that you're not losing the clarity of your image, so that real sharp look. But it definitely helps if you have a photo of, say, the beach or greenery to adjust your brightness and contrast to make it more alive and more lifelike to how it was in real life. So not that kind of dull in-between look or colour. So once you've adjusted your brightness and contrast, you may want to look at cropping your image. So cropping is when you, say, have taken a photo of you and someone else and you have that guy standing in the background just with the funny face. So what you can do is select the crop button and crop him out. When you do the crop, if you're doing it on a Kodak machine, it will automatically re-stretch the photograph to fit a standard photograph size. That's just something that if you are on Photoshop, you need to be aware of, that when you crop, you're actually adjusting the size of your image. So that might just mean that you do not have either a square or a standard rectangular size. You may need to go in and adjust your image settings. However, you don't want to just change the image size and have your picture get stretched width or height wise. You will need to work out how you can crop it in a way to keep it that same shape if you're going to print your photo, that is. So after you have cropped your image and you have adjusted the brightness and contrast and you're using Adobe Photoshop, you may want to have a look at a tool that is called the Clone Tool. So ladies, the Clone Tool will be your new best friend if you can use it really well. The Clone Tool on the Photoshop program looks like a little stamp. So have a look for a picture that looks like an old-fashioned stamp. And basically what that does is it's exactly the same as how they use it in magazines to Photoshop things that people want to change about themselves. So perhaps they have a beauty spot that they want to get rid of, or they just had a pimple on the day of the photograph. This clone tool allows you to take another section of the photograph that has the same colouring or the same kind of shape to it, and then place that over the top of the section that we want to cover. So you have to be really careful when using the clone tool, because you need to make sure you select an area that you want that to go over the top of the bit that you want to cover that actually makes sense. So you wouldn't actually take a something that is black to put it over the top of skin color to perhaps cover a pimple. So have a play around with this clone tool, but if you work out how to use it well, it can hide many, many things that we don't want others to see. So have a play around. There's just some top tips of how to enhance your photos. So now I'm going to play you another song. This one's an oldie but a goodie, Save Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry.
All we need is candlelight, you and me, and a bottle of wine to hold you tonight. Well, we know I'm going away, and how I wish it were so. So take this wine and drink with me. Let's delay our misery. Break up, don't come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone, say tonight. Fight to break up, don't come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone. There's a log on the fire, and it burns like me for you. Tomorrow comes with one desire, to take me away from the truth. It ain't easy.
wish it wasn't so. Save tonight and fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow, tomorrow I'll be gone. Save tonight and fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow, tomorrow I'll be gone.
That was our last song for today. Our very first show of Arty Farty is almost up. Thank you so much to everyone for tuning in, as we will be doing this again next Thursday from 4 o'clock. So hopefully I haven't bored you too much and you will want to tune in again to hear our guest next week. So just before I go, I'd love to say a huge thank you to Liz Moroney for joining us today as our very first interviewee on Arty Farty, and I'll continue to try and get some really interesting people to come in and talk to us about all different types of things to do with art. So as today, Liz spoke about all the things she's involved with to do with art, and please once again support Liz and jump on board her website that she told us about earlier. Get involved, she could do with the help. She's a really great friend of mine and she's trying to do some really good things and make a difference within the world. So thanks again, Liz, for coming in. And as I mentioned earlier, if you have anything that is art related that you would love to share with us, please get in contact with us at the Radio Karen website or on our Facebook page, as I'd love to hear from all different types of people that have anything to say or do with art. So please feel free to get involved. We'd love to have you on the show. So thanks again, everyone, for tuning in today. And I'm just going to leave you with this really chilled out song from a very chilled out artist called Jack Johnson. And the song is Breakdown. Catch you next week, Thursday, 4 o'clock.
I hope this old train breaks down, then I could take a walk around, see what there is to see. Time is just a melody, with all the people in the street walking fast as the feet can take them. I just roll through town, and though my window's got a view, where the frame I look through seems to have no concern for now. So for now, let me please break down.
This engine screams out loud. Centipede gonna crawl westbound. So I don't even make a sound. It's gonna sting me when I leave this town. And all the people in the street that I never get to meet. These tracks don't bend somehow. And I got no time that I got to get to where I don't need to be. So I need this old train to break down. Oh, please just let me please break down. I need this old train to break down. Oh, please just let me please break down. I wanna break on down. Stop now. Let me break on down. But you can't stop nothing if you got no control of the thoughts in your mind that you kept in your know. You don't know nothing, but you don't need to know. The wisdom's in the trees, not the glass windows. You can't stop wishing if you don't let go. The things that you find and you lose and you know. You keep on rolling, put the moment on hold. So put the blinds down low.
Arty Farty.